You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 220 of Well Met, a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Tuesday, November 12th, 2019. I am Danny Donuts, and as you guys have noticed, we do not have the normal crew today. JR and Ray are both sick today, so that is why I am introducing the show. We do have some guests on the show. It's not going to be me talking to myself for the entire podcast, although I do think that would be a very good show to listen to. With us today, we have two wild aficionados. We have Saucy Mailman and Concerned Mom. So, Saucy, how's it going?
It's going good, dude. How you doing?
Good. So it's nice to be leading the podcast when I'm on a podcast with you, as we are both co-hosts on another podcast, Into the Wild. So it's nice to have you on.
Yeah, likewise. How you doing, Mom?
I'm all right. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. It's been today specifically was like aggressively mediocre, but I've been good in general. Today was just like everything was annoying, but I'm great.
That's good.
Yeah. So for the listeners who are not familiar with Wild or our other podcast, why don't you two introduce yourself a little bit? Tell them a little bit more about yourself. Let's start with Mom.
I stream card games on Twitch, and that is about it.
Love it. Yeah. I mean, yeah, if I were to explain Concerned Mom to him, I mean, he streams card games on Twitch, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, you also stream other games. You are very, you play TFT, some other auto battlers as well. You were the one who introduced me to auto chess.
Yeah, I play a lot of games. I usually only like really stream card games for the most part, but I kind of just play whatever seems cool at the time.
That seems solid.
Yeah.
Mostly Saucy. Competitive games.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you gotta beat up all
you have a very big competitive vibe.
And it helps like as well.
Points.
You're pretty good, yeah. So.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what pushes you to be competitive, right? You got to be good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I have trouble playing games without rank systems.
Yeah. I'm kind of
the same. Or bad rank systems.
Yeah, oh, we'll talk about that. Okay. So yeah, I'm Saucy Mailman. I have another podcast with Danny Donuts called Into the Wild, where we mostly focus on Wild Hearthstone and the meta and interview people and stuff. I also run a Legends of Runeterra podcast called Runeterrible Radio. And yeah, I play a lot of Magic, Hearthstone, Gwent, soon to be Runeterra. I might be getting into TFT after now getting the auto battler itch that I didn't have before, so I might jump on that as well.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, it's nice to have a wild takeover on the show. I've done one wild takeover in the past, and the two guys I had on were Aw Dragon and Sippy Wee, so you guys have a lot to live up to.
Yeah. I don't know about that one.
Sounds like the quietest show I've ever heard in my life.
I had to adjust the volume so much in post-production. It was honest to God, one of the quietest podcasts.
I love that.
Yeah, okay. So let's hop into it. Normally we talk about our weeks in Hearthstone, but I will just start off saying that this week was the pre-beta. Was it like the open? It was the closed beta, right?
It was the closed beta, yeah.
Battlegrounds. So, yeah.
I think they just labeled it early access.
Yeah.
It was like technically went into open beta.
Yeah. The last time we had our show, it was right before Battlegrounds came out. It was the day before. So, everyone was itching to get everything going on. So, that's the perspective that everyone's coming from. So, we can talk a little bit about our experience throughout the first week of the game mode throughout this. And there's actually a lot of news that happened with relation to it. So I think that would be a good transition to go into like some of the announcements that happened, what happened over this past week in the news. So heading over to the news. And then before we go to the news, I'd like to give a shout out to our legend of the show, Otaku MZ. Thanks for being a patron of the show. And if you want to be a legend of the show, you can join our Patreon. We'll talk more about that later. But into some of the news of the things that happened, there was a patch that came out on the 4th, which started up when they introduced Battlegrounds. Mm-hmm. And the main things that came out of it was, besides the introduction of Battlegrounds, was that it introduced a bug into the game where Squelch did not work.
Yeah, so, that was an interesting time.
So bad.
I think they did that intentionally, by the way. I think they did that so people would stop playing ladder and everyone would play Battlegrounds.
I remember.
I don't know if they have that kind of foresight.
I'm like a auto squelch person. Even if I do a friendly battle, I just like so conditioned to squelch my opponent, it's always squelched. And I think it was Slizzle was talking about it. It's like, I just had the worst like 30-minute game of my life where my opponent never stops emoting and I wanted to quit Hearthstone.
Yeah, I may have done that. I may have hopped into one ranked game and literally just sat on the greetings button.
That sounds like you.
Yeah, of course I'd do that. I'd want to do that once. Only once. I got to try it. And then I got my satisfaction out of it and I was done.
You saw what it was like.
You have to say that you done it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. But yeah, that was so the other. You'd think that's such a small bug, but it like actually was a big detriment to my quality of life.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So also in that patch, a little thing that was hidden away. There was an autocomplete function improvement for Wild, which was very interesting. I'm not sure if either of you guys saw this, but mm-hmm. now apparently the autocomplete stuff when building Wild decks is a lot better, and it has the ability to go back to historical amounts of data. So if you go in now and you build a deck with like Grim Patron in it, before it would give you like Control Warrior and put two patrons in it, and now it'll go back like through the history of Hearthstone and give you a patron deck, or it'll give you like a lot of, it really makes the archetypes based off the cards that you're choosing for Wild, which is very interesting.
Cool. Yeah, I like that.
The
I
fact that they that, actually, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say like, I noticed before that it was just like, you would put Reno in autocomplete and it would still just give you like regular Q block or something. You're like, wait, hold on a minute.
The fact that they actually do apparently have Wild data saved makes the current state of the format pretty questionable.
Yes. Yeah. So the elephant in the room right now with Wild mode is the format's not super enthusiastic. There is a lot of snip snap that is going around. And it's I'll just put it at, I'm very glad that Battlegrounds is around.
Just so there's something I'm playing else
a lot of. So there's something else to do and I don't have to play with the meta as much. I think that Battlegrounds came out at a very good time-wise, because it's like a month left until the set comes out. Everything would normally, this is the point in time where I get bored with Hearthstone. So mm-hmm. I think they came out with this at a very opportune time.
Yeah, especially because like right now it's tough because you play Standard and all you get is Evolve Shaman. So you're like, all right, I'm tired of this. So then you go and play Wild and all you get is Snip Snap Warlock. So you're like, man, this is super interactive and fun.
That Secret Mage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did play some ladder yesterday and I intentionally dumpstered my rank as far as I could get down, hoping that like if I got low enough that I could get against some interactive, more unique, something different. And still it was, I think we had 70% Snip Snap and like 20% Secret Mage or something, and then like a couple random decks. So I was like, man, this is super exciting.
Yeah. Well, I have some hopes that the new set will at least give us some interactions with Snip Snap, or something will happen to change things up. I have hope.
We get new Malagos.
A shred of hope, but I have hope. The new Malagos.
That's all we need. We have Malagos. I'm in.
Yeah.
I don't think the snip problem is ever going to go away just by introducing different cards to interact with it, because as of right now, like Secret Mage is the best deck against it. Mm-hmm. And people do not want more of that kind of deck in the meta, which it seems to be the only way to get around snip is by just aggressively killing them before they can combo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like that when you're the strongest deck in a format is combo decks, aggro decks are the only solution to it, really, right? Remember when Starliner was a thing, you had to beat them before they got their combo. Nogalock, it was the same thing. So it seems like Snip Snap is coming into the fabled broken deck archetype slot.
Yeah, it's like, why try to throw in tech cards when you can just kill them? Mm-hmm. Like, just kill your opponent. That's a good way to remove them from the game.
Yep. But on to some of the stuff that happened this week. So Battlegrounds has been out for a week. So how have you guys been liking the game so far?
Not very much in comparison to other auto battlers. Like, it was, like, interesting at first, but I don't know. I always see posts on Twitter and stuff about people saying they can't stop playing it, but I felt like the opposite. Like, I'm in top 150 right now, and I just still have no desire to climb. It's just, it's rough.
Do you think that your perspective is from, like, the physical structure of the, like, the rank mode, or is it, like, the physical gameplay itself?
The game, well, the ranked has a lot of problem, but it's not even that. It's the gameplay. It just feels a lot more random, like a lot less player agency in this auto battler than any of the other ones, like by far.
Yeah, that was one of the things that we were saying beforehand when we were doing our initial analysis of the format, because Ray and I had played auto battlers for a good amount of time as well. And that was one of the things where, especially when a lot of the stuff is just, the only things you can choose are placing your minions and what minions you get, and getting your minions is not as easy as in other auto battlers because you have a lot less health. The 40 health is significant, because normally with like 100 health, you can go through and you can take a bunch of little losses here and there. Like, you can die from two losses in a row, which is kind of crazy.
And not only is your health lower in Battlegrounds, but player damage is even higher than in the games where you start with 100 health.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's reasonable. Yeah, it seems like so I have not played any other auto battlers before. It was like never a genre that really grasped me, so this is kind of like my first foray into it or whatever. At BlizzCon, it was interesting. So I was out at BlizzCon, and we got to play it and whatnot. And it didn't actually, like, it seemed okay there, but I didn't really get into it. And I think it was mostly because you're, like, so rushed to stop playing on the machines and whatnot there. But I've been having a lot of fun with it, but I've noticed the consensus. My host on my Runeterra podcast, he's a big TFT guy, and he was saying, like, same thing. Like, it's all right. Like, it's decent for an auto battler, but, TFT and the other ones just have more depth. He's like, it's something fun to do right now while the ranked system's down for team fight tactics.
Mm-hmm. So my comparison on the show last week was that that Battlegrounds is the auto battler equivalent of what Hearthstone is to Magic the Gathering.
Okay.
So yeah. Magic the Gathering, when Hearthstone came out, right, it was like the dumbed down version of Magic, where you came in and you didn't have to worry about mana. You could just go in and build things, curve out. You didn't have to worry about any of the complicated stuff. And my perspective was that a lot of people who were very casual in the auto brawler format would be able to come in, and it would be more or less like a party game. It would be like something that, like, you get a couple friends together, you go in, you play a little bit, but you wouldn't necessarily like grind it out like in other games. And Hearthstone took its own dimension. I think Hearthstone like went beyond what that description really is. It became competitive and all of that. But I'm really interested to see the direction and where they're going, because we've definitely seen some things happen. Like, they've made a bunch of changes within the first week, which is unheard of in Hearthstone. Like, the turnaround time on all this stuff is like very quick. And I mean, they're going in making changes that they changed three broken cards. They changed Mama Bear. They changed Khadgar's Apprentice or whatever it's called. And they changed something else. And then they changed around some of the heroes. So like they're recognizing they need to make balance changes. I think that's a genre thing. where like auto battlers have such an easy way to change it that the quick changes are kind of needed.
Yeah, that was something that like historically with the Hearthstone team, they'll let something be a disaster for a long time before fixing it. So I was very surprised to see that they made, you know, balance changes so quick. They basically took a couple of the heroes that weren't seeing any play and buffed them up, and took Toki and made her aggressively mediocre because she was busted. But yeah, it's cool to see that. I hope they keep doing that. I think it was you and I, Danny, that were talking about how, like, were you saying, was it Auto Chess or TFT that were like, they were changing things every week or something when it first came out?
Yeah, so I remember when the initial, like, the mod itself of Auto Chess came out, the developers of that game would take the hero that got the lowest amount of play, like the essentially kind of like the minion that gets the lowest amount of play in Battlegrounds, and they would buff that minion up so that it would see play. Because I remember, like, Ogre Magi was, like, the lowest played card at one point. And then all of a sudden, like, they made it pretty good. So you would be playing that in your mage comp. And, like, things would change around because of it. I think it's a little bit harder to do that in Hearthstone because the only thing you can really change for the cards that are, like, currently in the game, you can't really buff and nerf those cards because it probably breaks the game itself. Yeah. So they can only really change like tiers of cards, but I think it does have potential where, let's say, something like, I don't know, Hyena is too low at level 2, and all of a sudden it's like they put it up to level 3. Mm-hmm. Or is it level 3 already? I don't even know.
That's level 2.
It's level 2, yeah. So if they put it up, they say, hey, that goes there, and then all of a sudden Beast becomes a little bit weaker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that they could change the cards, but they probably don't want to go to the effort of doing so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I also think it gets confusing for a lot of people too. I'm not sure if they'd want to do that, where it's like all of a sudden like a Noyatron is a 3/4 like a 1/3 with taunt, and all like it kind of ruins a lot of things. I question if they would actually do something like that.
No, they wouldn't, but I'm just saying it would be easy and pretty logical for them to do so.
Mm-hmm. No, it makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, so what are some strategies and other things that you guys are thinking about with the game? How do you guys feel about like the physical gameplay? Because I mean, you're Concerned Mom, you're doing pretty well. You're top 150 right now.
I mean, all the builds late game feel pretty similar. You're either Amalgams, Beasts, or Mechs. All of them are pretty much some sort of Amalgam build, but the Amalgam, like, there's like a Battlecry Amalgam build, where you're kind of just, you know, all in on buffing Amalgams and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Or you have like an Amalgam build more towards like Junk Bot and Mechs. Or you have like a Mama Bear Beast Amalgam build. Any endgame is going to have some sort of Amalgam on it most of the time. Otherwise, you really just can't compete late game, because there's not really anything else that's easy to make so gigantic while also having like Divine Shield, Taunt, and Poisonous.
Yeah, the Amalgam is so strong. I think every like when I've had has included some kind of thick Amalgam, like being able to strap every buff onto it. Like you get Bran and Amalgam and then whatever you want, and you're at least top 4. Like it's hard to like lose if you have that.
90% of endgame builds are going to have some sort of Amalgam on them. It's like no question about that.
Yeah, because you lose if you don't have it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And because player damage and et cetera is so high, it's like you're going to lose pretty fast if you don't have like at least a decent mid game. So,
do you think that the it would be changed if they like put the health totals up to like 100 or something?
I don't even think they need to change the health totals. I think they need to change player damage more, because like with how random combat is, it just stacks on to the fact that player damage also ends up being extremely random based on what lives, and it's so high. Like it, in the other auto chess games, like it's usually based on like how many units left and not necessarily always how strong the units left are. Whereas that's exactly what it is in this game, is however many stars it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you get off of your Sneed Shredder, if you get a 6 cost thing and that dies, right, and that's the last thing living, all of a sudden you're getting 6 plus whatever your hero is, and that's just like at minimum at that point a quarter of your total.
You can low roll yourself out of the game in 6th at no fault of your own. It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, that always feels bad when it's like you're really close in combat and you win and the only thing that lives is like your tabby cat and you're like, "What? Man, that's one damage." And then it's like you just killed my Void Lord. It's like, "Dang, I just missed out on taking you out of the game." It feels bad.
Yeah, it's ridiculously random as far as combat goes.
Yeah. I think that
combat damage can be changed.
I think combat damage is something that they definitely need to look into. Because that swing is what dictates the game, right? If you're playing really early in the game and like you're playing up against the guy in first place and then you take 24 damage, it's like, oh my God, like I'm playing to not die next turn, where everyone else is like, okay, I'm going on as usual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And since player matchups are completely random, which is not something like that's unheard of, because in most of the auto battlers, player matchups are random. But if you play against like the high roll and low roll potential is so much different in this game. If you just play against the wrong person twice, you get six as opposed to maybe getting second.
They do have the thing in there where you can't play the same guy twice. So I'm glad that they recognize that could
but
be
every
an issue.
Other,
but you can play every other.
You can play him every other round consistently for an entire game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true.
I think that I have always played against AFK on the third round every single time. So that's a tough one.
I got him every second round. So that's always that happens a lot.
You jerk.
Yeah. So what do you guys how do you guys felt about like the progression of the meta itself? How most people have now figured out the strategies where it's like everyone levels on turn two. I think that especially in the first couple of days, people didn't recognize that, but it was a very quick learning curve as opposed to other types of like auto battlers where like I think I was talking with some other people where it might have been you, Mom, where other people were saying that in like other auto battlers, like the learning curve is much higher. So like people don't find the strategies immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like as a comparison, if I go play like a normal TFT game, it's going to be very rare that I don't like get at least top two just because the learning curve like to enter that game is so much higher. Whereas I played like about three games of Battlegrounds on the EU server the other day, and it felt like everybody knew the strategies, and it didn't feel much different than playing a game at like 5.5, 5.8K MMR. So it was very weird.
Yeah.
Once again, it was just like a lack of player agency.
Mm-hmm. I think that that's something that they can definitely dig into. And I think that especially for just the beta, right? This is coming out. Here's our idea of a game. We took 6 months. We threw it together. What do you guys think? I think they're really gauging for people's opinions because they went through. And I think another point of contention that's definitely been on people's minds is MMR. Where when you win games, it's based off of some very strange things. And I think Zeddy made a Reddit post about this where essentially it's based off of the number of games that you play right now. Mm-hmm. So your MMR, like you get less points the more games you play, which is kind of weird. I don't really know too much about that. I'm not sure if either of you guys know.
So that part doesn't shock me at all because like some games are like that. But at the same time, you don't have that second layer where it's based off your opponent's MMR, your gains and losses. Like, your gains and losses are completely independent of your opponent's MMR, which is the opposite of every other matchmade ranking system. So it's kind of strange.
Yeah. But at least, so Mike Donay, he went on Reddit earlier, probably about an hour or two ago, and he posted saying that they've recognized that people are complaining about the MMR and that they've taken notice about this. And in the future, later on, I don't know how soon, but they're going to talk about the MMR. They're going to make changes to it and they're going to discuss what they're doing with it. So I think that they definitely have some initiative in that corner where it's like, okay, what do you guys feel is going on with this? What do you want to change? And I think that people who make strong argued opinions will probably get at least looked at by Blizzard, which is like we've been saying for a lot of this stuff. It's very refreshing to see. It's refreshing to see Blizzard taking people's opinions into account. And I think that a lot of the changes that they made with regards to like hero powers and like the cards that they were playing are the changes were good. I think that balance wise, it got better after the patch was put in and they did it very quickly.
I don't think the balance changes they made actually changed much. And also they didn't target the two best cards in the game.
No, they didn't. Which they are didn't tar-
Enforcer Light Fang Amalgam.
And, yeah. So I think that that's true. I actually question, what do you guys think the game would be like if you didn't have Amalgam? If Amalgam didn't exist as a card in the game?
I think it would make the best types more polarized. I don't think Amalgam needs to not exist. I think it needs to be more expensive because basically your mid-game rides on setting those up early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. Like the Amalgam themselves existing allow you to be more creative with your builds too. Like you can be playing, you know, your beast deck and splash a couple of mechs in it and like still do good because you have things like Amalgam and Lightfang Enforcer specifically. So like you can get payoff for doing a Menagerie build, or I think it'd be harder if you didn't have the Amalgam altogether.
Do you think that
Amalgam's
more
good
card
for the game? It is. Sorry, go ahead.
No. You go ahead. I'll
I was just saying Amalgam's good for the game. It just needs to not be a two drop.
Do you think that more cards like Amalgam would improve the game if you added like Amalgam 2.0 as like a separate card, kind of like how the Curator has a different Amalgam? If you had some other thing that's similar to that.
Too many Amalgams are going to definitely make it so Amalgam builds are the only way to go. I don't think there's any way to strike a balance with a card that powerful.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Just because, like, that's one of those cards that you're just always picking. it's too good.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting looking at this base set, right? Because I think that Amalgam is the strongest in what we have for our current card pool. Mm-hmm. And with Hearthstone as the game base for this type of game, you have the whole wild collection of cards. They can put like a lot of really interesting cards into the game where, like, let's say they put Confessor Paltrus in or something, where all of a sudden, like, you use your hero. I mean, they would never put Paltrus in the game, but you guys are seeing what I mean, where you could go through and put a lot of different cards in that will make the game really wonky. You could go in and do a lot of really crazy stuff. They have access to all that. So I wouldn't be surprised if they take advantage of the thousands of cards that exist in Hearthstone, and they can really shake things up by doing that. Whereas like something like TFT or Dota Auto Chess, you really are limited to the number of characters that you have, which is not even anywhere close to the number of cards they have in Hearthstone.
Well, just like they created cards specifically for this game mode, the other games can just create more characters. So I don't think that's a restriction for either party.
Well, I don't think it's a restriction, right? I think that they can go through and create it, right? But I think that it's a lot easier to reuse stuff where it's like, okay, well, all of a sudden we're introducing the elemental tribe and we'll just take all of the elementals that we have already. And they take 10 elementals and put them into the game. Whereas like the amount of time that you would need to do to develop that for another game would be pretty high. You'd have to go through, make some custom characters, do that. I think they can swap things in and out very quickly. And I hope that they do something like that. That's what my hopes are. That's where my hopes are lying. They go through and they make a lot of changes along those lines.
Yeah, we can see that. I really don't know what their plans are with the game at the moment. I couldn't pretend to have any idea what they're going to do with it.
Go ahead, Saucy.
I could see like the next things, them adding like different tribes. Like I could see us seeing pirates. I feel like we'll have something like that, you know. And then, of course, adding more heroes. We've already gotten kind of a leak of that.
Have they announced officially what they are, or
it's just data mined?
Oh, has it been data mined? Is it? I don't know what the data mine is. So, is it the four League of Explorers?
It's Bran, Finley, Elise, and Sendragosa.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, because there were four. It was funny. I was watching someone's stream, and they're like, "Oh, four things are coming into the game. I wonder what they are. What other group of four characters do we have in Hearthstone?"
I didn't even hear about that yet, to be honest.
Yeah, they pulled it from the Hearthstone JSON website or whatever that you can use.
Gotcha.
I have their hero powers if you want them.
Yeah, let's hear them.
So Sir Finley, his hero power is one gold or $1. Give a random friendly minion +1/+1. After you sell a minion, refresh this power. Which is interesting. Elise is passive hero power. When you upgrade Bob's Tavern, get a recruitment map. And the recruitment map they show is 3-cost Fang. and it's discover a minion from your current tavern tier, which is
interesting. So it's kind of like when you get a level, but it's of the same level that you just got.
Yeah. Yep. So that looks interesting, I guess. And then Bran is passive hero power. After you play a Battlecry minion, give a random friendly minion +1/+1, which seems pretty strong.
That one's going to be really good.
Yeah. And then Syndragosa says, this is interesting because I think it shows what may be coming, because it says passive hero power at the end of your turn, frozen minions get +1/+1.
That's interesting. You could have frozen minions. Oh, yeah. So that's interesting. They could go through and make really high statted minions that can't attack.
Yeah. Or that. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
The turn you play them or something.
That's really cool. I like that. So that's just levying on the Hearthstone game engine, right?
Mm-hmm. Although, like, in my mind, I feel like that could be a buff to a minion rather than a downfall if it can't attack. Like, setting it up, if you can give something taunt that can't attack, that seems like really strong in Battlegrounds.
Yeah, well, I mean, it also allows you to play the Glacial Element. Is it an elemental? Whatever, the six the mana 5/5.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, the 6 mana 5/5 that frees your own minion. Yeah. So you could go through and freeze something.
Yeah. Or there's like the guy that, isn't there a guy that like freezes all your own stuff?
Oh, yeah, there's the 4/4 that frees all your minions.
Yeah. That'd be an interesting concept, because like there's so many times I'm like, I wish my amalgam didn't attack. I just want him to sit there with taunt and divine shield and poisonous and poison. Never attack. Like, I just want you to attack into me.
Yeah. I think that's one of the best things about amalgam, just making it poisonous, because like you got to think poison as infinite attack, right? Yeah. So that's one of the reasons why it's so strong.
If you give it poisonous and wind fury, it's so stupid. It's so dumb.
You ready for the next level? Poisonous, wind fury, and frozen.
Oh, perfect. The wind fury frozen combination. So yeah, those were I don't think they showed anything else. Yeah, those were just the data mined heroes. So,
have they announced when that's coming? Did they say that was like next week they were doing that?
I don't think so.
No.
I'm hoping it's like soon. Like,
it would be nice,
like,
if they did it weekly. Weekly, they get just a giant change in the game,
or just something. I just want something to change every week, because I think like I'm having a blast with Battlegrounds. It's fun. I think for me specifically, just being new to this whole genre of games, it's fresh for me. So I'm more excited, but it does definitely have the potential to get stale very fast, especially like Mom was saying, it's pretty like everyone's kind of figured out how the basics of the game go and kind of like what the best builds are and minions that every person wants to take. So I think if they don't change things fairly quickly, it's a game mode that could get stale pretty fast.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I've been having a lot of fun as well. I haven't been able to play as much as I wanted to, but ultimately, I'm very hopeful with this. I think this is, I'm optimistic, which is definitely something to look at.
Yeah, I agree. I want to pose a question to you guys. How do you see this ever being, like, I don't know if they're pushing for this or whatever, but like something where they do try to make it like semi-competitive. Do you ever see this as being anything close to a competitive game mode?
I mean, they've already put like their competitive budget for a whole year into it, right? With the $300,000 tournament.
Yeah.
Where it's an invitational, not even the best players are invited.
I mean, that's typical Blizzard fashion, though. You look at Grandmasters, and that's a running theme on this show, where we go through and we're not super pleased with the Grandmaster system that came out. But I think that they're trying to do that to get hype up of the game mode, obviously, because everyone's like, oh, they're playing for a ton of money and they're doing this. So it's it's nice to get
kind of like a slap in the face to Hearthstone players, isn't it, though? Because they have never put that much effort towards the actual Hearthstone esports system.
Yes, no, I agree. Well, the Hearthstone esports system, just for you guys might not be as familiar with what's happened, but like they had layoffs maybe about 6 months ago or so, and everything's gone downhill since that. And ultimately, like we're trying to see if they can salvage it at the moment. And maybe this is what happens if they get a lot of attention to Battlegrounds. Hearthstone as a whole goes up, and then they can do this for normal Hearthstone.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I agree.
They'll
I do
it for normal Hearthstone if they think it's like financially the right decision for them. But it's not like that. They're not really into the whole they want the player base to be happy thing with tournaments, I don't think.
Yeah, I agree.
It's Activision dollars. That's what they want.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to, like, one thing I've noticed, well, a couple things, like just seeing a lot of, you know, higher end competitive, like people who play in tournaments for Hearthstone, a lot of people are kind of upset that Battlegrounds got already like a patch with that, like the today is the day that the game went into the open beta, and there's already been a patch with balance changes, and you know, we've in Standard and Wild we've been crying for changes for so long, but they kind of seem to ignore us. So I've seen a lot of you know, highly competitive players that have been not too thrilled with that,
for good reason. Yeah,
it's a little bit unfortunate. Where, I mean, to me, I'm kind of separating Battlegrounds out from Hearthstone. And obviously, it's a very interconnected game, right? Because it's literally in the same client. So it's based off of the same, like, game engine and everything. And I'm not sure if the direction that this is taking is Blizzard saying, hey, we've given up on this Hearthstone game. It's all Battlegrounds now. But
I don't say that. I hope. I don't know.
Yeah, and I've noticed, like, a big thing is now if you look at, because I'm a big, like, statistics and analytic guy, but, like, looking at the amount of people who have left Hearthstone altogether who are now back playing Hearthstone and throwing it at, like, the top three most viewed things on Twitch right now has been kind of astronomical.
Yeah, you got all the old streamers. You got Toast, Savage. You got Kibler was playing a lot of other games during this period. Like, everyone's come back because of Battlegrounds, because it's something that's new and it's fresh. The question is, do they stick around? Like, Toast is playing. Like, you get a lot of people. I think Toast is going to go back to Runeterra when that comes back out. But
well, I mean, they're all going to follow whatever game is the biggest, because that's what they have to do. Since it's like their job, like, they need the most exposure possible, so they follow the games that have it for the most part.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, and it's interesting. So I have another question that I have here in the show notes. So like we mentioned before, the game is in beta, and like we've been talking about, the game, the team is open to change. If you were a person on the development team and you had, like, deciding control on what happened through the game, how would you go about changing things with what we currently have?
Like, just changing things about the game in general?
Yeah, like, what changes could you make based off of, like, don't say, oh, I would go through and build the game completely different, but, like, based off of what they presented to us, what changes would you make to make it a more enjoyable game? Like, just based off of, like, not necessarily small things, but things that you could, like, reasonably see them doing.
Well, like, reasonably, like, I think they're pretty happy with the game design, despite the fact that, like, I think almost every problem is with, like, the core game design and not the cards that are in the game. So I don't see significant changes being made, really.
I think, like, the whole MMR change, where you're, I feel like your opponents you play against should be reasonably matched up against your MMR and skill level. I think that should be.
Well, it does match you against people with even MMR. It just doesn't affect your gain or losses.
Yeah.
Like, your gain or losses are not affected by the people in the game as opposed to other MMR systems.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
My biggest problem with the game is the random combat and just, like, player damage being too high. The fact that you can, like, it's such a high roller game in general, you can just low roll your way out of the game with, like, bad, like, opponent rolls. It's just, there are so many, like, core problems, I think, with the game.
Do you think they could do you think they could change that if they did it where the tier of the minion doesn't count and it's literally just the number of tokens that are on the board?
I think that would be better, but then the player damage might be too low at that point. I think there's probably a good way for them to tinker it. The thing is, like, I think they're happy with the game design, it seems like. So I don't see them making big actual changes to, like, how the game functions. I think in classic Blizzard faction, they're going to increase the cost of a card by one and be done with it.
Well, I mean, that's a fair assessment.
Yeah. I mean, that's a historical thing that we have to go off. So
it's just, yeah. Just the precedent they've set in the past. Precedent, sorry.
Okay. Well, anything else that you guys have to say about Battlegrounds, about where you think it's going or anything else like that?
I think it's a good game for casual players, and like it's going to be a lot of people's first introduction to the genre. I'm worried that if people get too into it, though, it might turn them off from the genre, because this is such a different game than the rest of the auto battlers. Like, it's so different.
I think that comparing it to the other auto battlers is really, I don't want to say a disservice, but I think it's more or less its own game at this point, because it's just so, like you said, it's different than the other auto battlers. All like Dota, Auto Chess, TFT, they're almost, I mean, functionally they're the same game, but with different characters and different abilities. Like the power-up system's a little bit different and other things like that, but they're the same heroes attacking and everything. And being based off of the Hearthstone system really changes things around. So I think that there's definitely pros and cons to that, and we definitely talked about a lot of the cons, and there are definitely some pros to it, where it's like, I think that their turnaround, I'm going to keep saying this, but their turnaround time, if they stick to it where it's like every week things get drastically different, it would be interesting. Yeah. I think that it would be really cool if it's like if they add these frozen minions in and like next week all of a sudden it's a completely different game and you have to learn what's going on with it. I think that would be really cool.
I think The only reason we're seeing such consistent changes is just because it's the beta, though. Because, like, once it's out of beta, I don't think they're going to be making weekly changes by any means. Because, like, Blizzard of all companies is very slow about responding to the data that they themselves have. Which, like, it's a game that has more languages and platforms and everything. So, like, it's definitely a game. Like, it's a game that's, like, more widespread and very, like, very much harder than the other ones to update. But at the same time, I think that they're also just kind of hesitant to make changes in a lot of situations. Mm-hmm. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Because they have, what, 30-some languages to translate all of these games into?
Yeah.
A non-insignificant amount. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm having a blast with the game. Like, I'm definitely having a lot of fun. I don't know if it is, again, just because I've not played the other auto battle games. Or if I'm just like so sick of the wild ladder that I'm just thrilled to have something I enjoy again. But I've been having an absolute blast. I've been really enjoying it. And I think it's nice like streaming it, because you have an entire combat where you don't have to pay attention to the game and you can just hang out with chat is also very nice. Like,
it brings me back to original Hearthstone when everyone like you it's kind of like the thing where you have your turn and then after your turn, on your opponent's turn, you talk with your chat. I think this is a very good game for streamers, because you have that where I think that's something else that got me when I'm playing the game, where certain rounds will go. I think that a lot of the things are based off the animation timer, where like certain rounds are like 90 seconds long and others are like 45, based off of like who, if your combat takes longer than other people's combats, you can see on the side where people are leveling up and you're still attacking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I find that interesting, but I do think it's nice to have that time in between, and it helps because like it's not like I've been multitasking when playing. Like I'll play this and I'll have like RuneScape up on the other side, on the other monitor. I've been playing a little bit of that WoW Classic. You might play some of that on the other monitor, do some other stuff like that. It's a nice chill game, but mm-hmm. I don't see immediately this becoming a competitive game, but I don't think they thought that about Hearthstone either. I don't think they came out with Hearthstone as intent to become as competitive as it did. So I don't know. We might be in the footsteps of something great here.
Well, yeah, that's an interesting point, because it's funny because I remember when Hearthstone, you know, originally came out and it was starting to see it, like snowballing success. They said the same thing, like, we expected this to do well, but not do as well as it did so fast. And they've said the same thing about Battlegrounds. They like expected people to play it, but not as many people that, you know, adapted as much as they have. So that's a pretty interesting point.
And I mean, I know that we've been joking about Blizzard being very bad at adapting to all this stuff, but I mean, this is kind of the break that they needed with Hearthstone. if I'm being completely honest, like with the way that things have been going and everything, the design team's been very good as of recently with the sets that have come out, mm-hmm. but they've needed a boost. And this has gotten more eyeballs on Hearthstone from people who aren't even Hearthstone players. So yeah. I think that's a big plus.
Yeah. It's funny. Like I have a friend who doesn't play Hearthstone, and he said he pre-ordered the set just so he could play this game early. And I'm like, what are you doing with yourself? Like, just wait a week. But he's like, yeah, I wanted the bonuses and whatnot, so I pre-ordered it. I'm like, all right, Blizzard's there. I guess they're doing the thing they wanted.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see how many people did that. People who didn't, who would normally not pre-order the set specifically because this format came out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And with the where you get the bonuses if you've pre-ordered, or where you get if you've bought packs for the set.
That's interesting. I'm waiting to see the stories of people who are free-to-play players who grind out packs specifically so that they get the extra benefits in mm-hmm. In this format.
Yeah, I mean, being able to pick three heroes versus two is a big deal.
Yeah, some of the heroes are fairly bad. That's the whole thing. RNG a lot of the times comes up where it's like, if you get like a good hero, you realize you're going to be going to the end of the game. Whereas like certain other times, if it's like I get offered the Murloc guy, I get offered Patches and Rag, I'm like, okay, I'm aiming for fourth place this game.
Yep.
I think, yeah. I don't know, I think people put too much emphasis on the heroes because you can just ignore your hero power the whole game and win a game. I think it's, like, some of the heroes are very good, but, like, I think the bad hero powers, you can just kind of assume you don't have a hero power, and, like, they can still win games. I think, like, a lot of it comes down way more to RNG about what's offered and, like, player, like, who you play against, like, combat RNG in general. What you're offered early game is significantly more important in this than other auto battlers. Because in the other auto battlers, you're always offered five choices statically, mm-hmm. as opposed to your tavern level goes up, you're offered more things. But when you're only offered three things, it can definitely be heavy RNG for early game. Plus, leveling up your tavern doesn't give you a higher chance or a lower chance to roll like lower level things. Like in other auto chess games, as you level up, you have a lower chance to roll one cost minions. That is not the case in Battlegrounds. So you can still just roll as many one cost minions you randomly roll while being level five.
I mean, that doesn't make sense to me because, I mean, you have 100% chance of getting a level one unit in turn one, right? So on the next level, it's what? You have like an 80% chance to get a level one and then like a 20% chance to get a two. And then in the next one, it's got to be like you get a 10% chance for a three, a 30% for a two, and then a 40% for a one. I don't understand that logic.
It goes down in the sense that there's more that you can roll, but the other auto chess games specifically reduce your chance to roll low level units as you go up in level. Like in addition beyond just opening up more units to be options.
Oh, so it's literally, I get what you're saying. So the whole pool is open to you. It's not that you get a lower reduced chance of lower units. Okay, I gotcha.
Correct. Yeah. Like say you're level whatever, like not level one in like TFT, you have a less chance of rolling one cost units. Whereas if you're level five in Battlegrounds, you have a less chance of rolling one cost units in the sense that you can also roll two through four and five, but it doesn't
specifically
reduce.
You still have the full one pool to it. I gotcha.
Correct. Yeah.
That's an interesting distinction. I didn't really think about it like that. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that they did that in other auto battlers. I didn't really think about that, but it makes sense. And I've been playing all of those, so I probably should have picked up on that, but.
It's something that's not like immediately obvious. Like it's, you kind of just have to notice it over time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so another thing I was thinking about is that strategy early game very often comes down to the fact that every minion costs three, as opposed to it in like other auto battlers, you have the mana cost specifically equal to the tier that your minion is at. So an alley cat is worth the same as a mama bear.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, in the econ sense, but like since it completely removes the econ, since gold goes away at the end of turn anyway, I don't think it's as big of a deal. Like it's very weird like to come from other auto battlers and see that. But since there is no econ, I think they're just straight up cutting that whole strategy from the game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do think that there is the fact that you have two minions, like level one, where you can make tokens, is definitely a fact about that, where you resell everything for one. So if you get like an alley cat turn one, and all of a sudden later round, you just have an extra gold that you can use.
Yep.
I think that's something that I didn't really take that for granted. I didn't like recognize that super early. Yeah, it wasn't something that I really thought about, but now I'm like, okay, so alley cat and then Murloc Tidecaller are the two best one drop minions. Besides, and then you have the Homunculus, which is the one that just like put you win turn one every single time. But
yeah,
I think those three are the three best one cost minions you can get just straight up off the top.
With Homunculus, you can lose to Maleficent with the Micro Machine. You cannot lose, but you'll tie. Like, you don't always win with Homunculus, but yeah, 95% of the times.
I mean, you won't lose. I think that that's another thing, especially early, that I really emphasize is that I don't care if I tie. I don't, long as I don't lose.
The thing about losing that round is you'd only be taking two damage anyway that the Homunculus deals you.
Yeah, that's true. But then it helps you out later on. Like, I think for turns two and three, et cetera, as you're going on, that two damage is worth it because it's like I have a fair minion going in. I have like a medium small minion, something that it will at least push me to the mid game. Mm-hmm. Whereas like
it's definitely a good early pick. Well, it's definitely a good early pick, but it's not near as good as either of the token makers though, like the alley cat.
I agree. I think the token makers really help because on turn three, right, where you have five mana and then you've leveled up your tavern, so you can now get two minions. You sell one of them, you'd either have to sell the current minion for two better minions, or you can have a 1-1 and do that.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Anything else you guys want to talk about with relation to Battlegrounds? Any strategies that you guys have seen that you really like to play? Or
I like Amalgams.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's good. Amalgams the best card.
I think my favorite games I've had have been when I do like doing a cool menagerie build, like Lightfang Enforcer, like we were talking about, is so nuts. And when you can capitalize on that, it snowballs really crazy. But you know, when you have like one good Murloc and you have like a big Cave Hydra and whatnot, like I don't know, like those have been the really fun games for me. And one thing that like just after playing a bunch is not being afraid to like change what you're doing halfway through the game. Like my first handful of games, I'd be like, I'm going mechs and I'm not changing. And I just skipped over two Mama Bears, but I'm not changing from mechs. Like being able to adapt to like literally no one here is playing demons. I just got picked past like three Void Lords and two Mal'Ganis. You know, maybe I'm going to switch to demons. Being able to kind of evolve to that, I think, is something that is important in this game.
I think a lot of the times the mid games are so viable in battle or so volatile in Battlegrounds that it's like less viable to adapt, because like in other auto chess games, it feels pretty easy to switch up what you're doing mid game if you're not like exactly happy with what you've been seeing, because the player damage is a lot lower. You have a lot more like room to breathe there. Whereas I feel like if you lose two or three early combats, you're just playing not to die every single game.
So do you think that the mid game would become better if you just had more health? That's something that I think would be a very easy change for them to do. Set the everyone's hero to 100 health, and then it allows you to be more flexible throughout the mid game. And I mean, obviously, towards the end of the game, things are going to happen. But
I think 100 is too much, because then you have every single game making it to a late game build, which would be even more polarizing. Because I feel like the one saving grace about the fact that most of the end game builds are pretty similar is the fact that a lot of the times like people will get knocked out very early, but at the same time, that's not good for the gameplay overall. So like, I think if everybody started at like even 50, it would be a lot more helpful, just because like, I love picking patchwork in this game specifically because it's so hard to get low rolled out of the game as patchwork. Like if you take patchwork, I think it's pretty hard to go out first. Like, whereas you can pick any other hero, get low rolled out of the game with combat still.
Yeah. Patchwork essentially is like, I'm getting fourth no matter what this game.
Yep.
At least,
he's been one of my favorite heroes, honestly.
I was even saying I like Patchwork more than Toki before Toki got nerfed.
Really?
I would 100% pick Patchwork over everyone because of how random the game mode is.
That's interesting. Because I always, I would pick Patchwork. I don't think I was offered Patchwork versus Toki, but I did pick Patchwork maybe 99% of the time I got him. And it's just that reliability and the ability to be a little bit more greedy earlier on, where it's like, you don't have to, the lack of fear that you have where it's like, okay, well, if I take 20 here, it doesn't matter because I'm set to the starting total that everyone else has.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, oh, I'm still at 37? Sweet. This is great. I've taken so much damage.
And I think I like characters like that. I mean, where do you think it would be better if just everyone started at 60, maybe Patchwork started at 80?
God, Patchwork would be so much better. Like he's I think he's insane now, but like I think that you can kick everyone up to 50 and then keep Patchwork at 60.
That's interesting.
Maybe 65. But if you go higher than that, that feels like too much.
I mean, they could always rotate Patchwork out. It seems like they're introducing a bunch of new heroes, right? So you could always kick him out if you increase the health.
Boy, I hope not.
Well, no, if you increase the health, then the whole thing goes across the board, right?
Yeah. I'm worried that the meta will be worse if they increase health, but at the same, like, I don't think they should increase health. I think they just need a lower player damage.
So minions, like, as opposed to tiers?
Make it so at least things summoned from like shredders and whatnot can only deal one, but like I still don't think that's enough. I think 40 is definitely like enough if you just change it to where everything deals one at the end of the round that's alive.
Yeah, I think the game would be much better if that was the case.
Even increase the base damage of the heroes by like two, like say two plus your tavern levels, your base damage, instead of just like flat tavern level. And then change it so like units don't deal damage based on their stars. Because it's so, like, in addition to the combat being so random, like that brings such a ridiculously frustrating RNG element to it.
Yeah. Or I think you could do is two times your tavern level and tokens, right? Because imagine late game, you could still have the same swings, but it would be a lot better mid game. Like if you, let's say you get to at the end game, right? You're doing 12 plus 7 damage, you're doing just under 20 every
with the way it currently is. End game damage doesn't get higher, like it's just as random as it is mid game. Like, I think people are more likely to take 15 mid game than they are to late game.
Well,
because
I agree,
the people in late game have like more competitive teams.
I'm just thinking about the speed of the game, right? So I'm saying that at the end of the game, you want to be doing like 20 damage if possible, right? If you get the full board, the full thing, you want to do around 20 damage. And like this would put it so that in the mid game, you're tier 4, you do 8, you do 8 damage plus like 3 or left, you do 11. I think that's a lot better than getting walloped for 20 in the mid game.
Yeah. So like theoretically, player damage should be higher late game because like there's more things with higher stars on it, but it's just not the way it works out.
Because they cancel each other out, right? Where it's like I have a 6 tier unit, it kills your 6 tier unit.
Well, not even that. It's just like usually the combats of the people who are left later game are closer.
Yeah.
So like you're maybe taking like and like your tavern level is going up, but at the same time, it's only going up by one. So it doesn't really scale into late game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had so many games where we go like through 6 rounds of combat when it's me and one other person.
Yeah.
We're just like, all right, I just took 5 damage. Okay. It's
which seems to contrast the mid game being so volatile, so hard.
Yeah,
because like you can really just die in 2 or 3 combats mid game.
Yeah, you always have the mech player who's still on tier 4 because they just want to get that third junk bot, and they're like, "All right, well, you hit me for 5 damage at this like 7 times in a row."
Yeah, so I think that's a good thing that we can really focus in on, where the mid game itself is really what's causing the game to be as random as it is. Where it's like it's not the late game, and it may be the early game has an effect to it, right? Where it's like obviously the RNG in the beginning does have an effect on it, but I do think that those mid game swings are what really is driving it towards that volatility.
I think the core problem is less about like the mid game damage specifically being too high and more just about the combats being so random in general. I feel like I can never tell who's going to win a combat until it's down to like two things.
Yeah, that is definitely something that happens. And there are a lot of times where it's like, oh, if my guy had attacked differently, I would have won, but I lost this one, right? Whereas like if you're playing another auto battle, you're like, okay, I'm playing against this guy and like there's a 90% chance that he wins. There's no way.
Yeah, the second you see the team and positioning of the person you're playing in other auto battlers, you can usually have a pretty good idea of whether you're going to win or lose.
It might come down to an ult or something, but
yeah, exactly. Like maybe like a glacial trigger, like something's frozen or whatnot. But like in Battlegrounds, it's like I've specifically pointed out so many times that like I have a way better board, or my opponent just has like a board that's 10 times better than mine, and I'll end up winning by like a token or something, and it's, or like I'll end up winning by even more than that, and it's just like it makes no sense at all.
Yeah, you'll end up like popping a Baron Rivendare out of your Sneeds or whatever, and yeah, and then just winning by insane RNG.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, when beasts come off of the Death Rattle Snake guy, that always sucks.
Yeah. Or you just go against Akazam Zarak and he gets Ice Block three times.
Yeah. They do have something built into that, and I've said this a couple times, but the percentage chance that you discover Ice Block decreases after every Ice Block that you can get. So
unless you're me,
you only get up. Were you gonna say, Mom?
I was just gonna say, in every other secret on, it's bad.
Yeah,
it seems like they really limited that pool of secrets, like heavily.
I mean, what other ones could you have done though? I think that like, I don't think there are many ones that you can do that are not like triggered on playing a minion.
Yeah, no, it's probably a pretty narrow pool, but right now it just feels like Paladin Secrets and Ice Block.
And Venom Strike Trap.
I mean, Splitting Image.
And Venom Strike Trap, yeah. What's up?
Yeah. They have Splitting Image. That's something that's pretty good.
Do they have Splitting Image? I haven't actually seen it.
Splitting Image. I mean, no one. Splitting Image is one. They have Snakes, which is horrible because like the first minion that you attack, there's going to be one spot open, so it's summon a 1/1 Snake.
Yeah, I usually pick Splitting Image or the Anti-Defense Matrix or whatever, Auto Defense Matrix. I take
they that. Also have
no,
the
I usually pick Ice Block.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I always have one up. So, you know, my Ice Block never goes away. That's my first secret, is Ice Block every time, guaranteed. And then from there, you know.
Yeah. They had that arena unique secret. When they went through and they made those arena unique cards, there was the Paladin one, your second minion that dies this turn is resummoned. I like that one. That one's pretty interesting. It's kind of like Repentance, but better for your second minion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I never remember that it happens, too, because I see the secret up there. I'm like, a Paladin secret that hasn't triggered yet. What is this?
Yeah.
And then it hits me.
It's okay. That's how I always beat Danny, is with Ice Block.
Oh, my God. We had a game that I completely blew Saucy out of the water, and he had Ice Block. Mm-hmm. Didn't take any damage.
And I was at 5 health. You hit me for
I was gonna win the game. I was gonna win the game. Saucy hits the Ice Block and ends up coming back to win it.
Yep, it was awesome. It was great.
Yeah, but I think that's actually one of the fun things. Like, I played a little bit with Aw Dragon. I played with JR. I played with a lot of people, and it brings me back to when TFT came out, and you were able to go, and we were all on calls and just playing with a bunch of people. I do like that environment of it. I think that would be really cool. I know that right now you can only play with one other person, and they said probably when they go to release the game fully, they're going to have the functionality to get a group of people and queue up together, but they just did it based off what they had. So it'd be interesting to see. We get a bunch of, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 people, just create a pool of people, go in, just have a conversation. Like, that was one of the best things about when it came out. And then for TFT, at least before ranked came out, everyone just went in and you were able to go through and talk and trash talk your opponents during that phase. It's so much fun.
They'd have to create a non-ranked mode to allow more than like 3 people to queue together. Because if you have a ranked mode where like you can just queue with however many people, you're just going to get people throwing for MMR.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
so,
of
like,
course.
I think 2, like for the ranked mode, 2 might be the max you can go with, honestly, to make it like balanced.
I agree. I think that's probably a fair thing. And I mean, we only have ranked mode right now, right? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like no ranked, normal. Unranked. There's no normal mode. So as the game gets fleshed out, like I've said this a couple of times, we're still in the beta. So it'll be interesting to see where it ends up going.
Yeah, no, I fully expect a normal mode.
Yeah.
Eventually, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be even cool to see them put out just like a whole bunch of random like party type modes, like Mario Party-esque modes where there's just like crazy stuff that goes on. That could be kind of interesting.
All of your minions start with Divine Shield. Like kind of what they did this with the solo player content where there's a crazy rule that happens every time.
Yeah.
How long till we see Battlegrounds Tavern Brawls, do you think?
Oh, God. Oh, first week. The first one of the expansion, guaranteed, is going to be a Battlegrounds
probably
Tavern Brawl.
I mean, we've got the quests now, right? So why not?
Yep. Okay. So anything else you guys want to say about Battlegrounds?
No, I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
Okay. So this next part of the show is where we would talk about the meta, but no one played Constructed this week, lol. That's what I have in the show notes.
It's fairly accurate. I mean, I've played one game of ladder this month, so or one night of ladder this month.
I've been playing Burn Mage on ladder because I'm just tired of it all. It's just Secret Mage without like all the secret minions, just plus Ice Lances, plus Frost Bolts, plus Forgotten Torches.
Yeah,
just like the old Alunith burn list. It's better in this meta just because you have less like decks actually trying to like armor up and heal. Like there's way less druid in the format. Reno decks are basically the only thing you're really not wanting to see. It's pretty decent against Snip, and it's okay in the Secret Mage mirror. I'm actually playing Leroy in the list too.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's
super gotta get that extra burn.
Mm-hmm.
Just cost one extra.
Yeah.
As opposed to Cloud Prince.
I'm playing Cloud Prince too.
Oh, no, yeah. I know. I'm saying Cloud Prince costs five, but it's a fireball as well.
Yeah, gotcha. Less reliable than Leroy for sure.
Yep. I would think that it's more because you're always going to have a secret up.
If you have ice block.
So there's always that problem. No, I'm running too. There's always that problem though where like you might need that last six damage and your last block got popped and you're just ripping off the top of your deck. I think I've actually had Leroy win me the game once where Cloud Prince wouldn't.
That's pretty cool. But then they have to not have taunt.
Correct. Yeah, it's very, very specific and narrow. Like, Leroy's the worst card in the deck, for sure. But yeah, they don't
actually. They're not playing around it. Oh, he has a Cloud Prince and a Fireball.
Yeah.
Yeah, they start well playing you because Squelch is broken and then you rip Leroy.
I actually didn't get emoted as much as I thought I would.
When Squelch was broken.
Yeah,
after everyone got that one game out of their system, I think everyone went back to normal.
Well met. Well met. Well met.
Yeah, I never had anybody spamming. I got the normal amount of emotes I get because I never remember to squelch people. Like, I never squelch people until they actually start emoting.
Like, and then you squelch them immediately after?
Yeah.
You must never play against Danny because every time I do, that guy, he is an emote master.
I'm usually not at that low of ranks.
Yeah, oh, shut up. All right. So moving on, for emails and iTunes reviews, I don't have the data in front of me right now, but feel free to submit an email to the show. We always discuss them. Had a lot of really good conversations about it, and the one that we had 3 weeks ago actually got brought up in the interview that JR had with the Blizzard devs about what keeps you playing Hearthstone. So feel free to submit your emails, and we love talking about them. We love the feedback. It's always a lot of really good stuff. And iTunes reviews, feel free to leave an iTunes review, and we will read them on the show. We like doing that. The other things we have is we have our Patreon, patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. Feel free to join. You get to get some awesome benefits, such as the pre and post show. We don't have it this week because I don't have JR's stuff, but we normally go through and we have a pre-show and a post-show where we go through and just going over the show notes, a little bit of bantering here and there, and get to hear Ray's BM meta report at the end of every show. And then the last part of the show, we typically like to do shout outs and how people can get in contact with you. So let's start with Concern Mom. Do you have any shout outs?
Yes, to my Twitch and Twitter, both Concern Mom HS. I'm pretty active on both, so usually reach me there.
Cool. Saucy?
Yeah, I'm just a saucy mailman everywhere. Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, Spotify, all the places. I stream 5 nights a week, so I'm all on there. And if you're interested in Legends of Runeterra, I got the new podcast, Runeterrible. It's just twitter.com/Runeterrible. So we're going to be doing a lot of... I'm very excited for Legends of Runeterra, so that's going to be a lot of my life going forward.
Yeah, I'm going to be playing a lot of that this weekend.
Yeah, I'm doing like Friday, I think I'm doing a 12-hour stream, and Saturday probably like another one, so it'll be fun.
So as for me, well, first I'd like to thank both of you guys for coming on such short notice, coming onto the show. It's always a lot of fun to talk about this stuff and getting the perspective of someone of the new format is definitely really refreshing. And we had a lot of really interesting viewpoints. I really enjoyed the conversation today. So for my contact info, you can find me DannyDonuts_HS on Twitter. And that's about it. So thank you for joining us for episode 220 of Well Met. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week at hearthstone.blizzbro.com. You can also tweet at us at Well Met Podcast or email us at wellmet@blizzbro.com with comments, questions, and ideas you have for the show. Shout out to Jake Butno for our amazing intro music. Thank you for tuning in, and we will catch you next week. Bye-bye.